Ritavan kila karmani saharamena keshavah atimartyani bhagavan gudha kapata manushah.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the complete description of the personality of Godhead. Not complete because that is not possible to completely describe him, but as complete as is possible in a small number of verses, only 18,000 verses. So within this Srimad Bhagavatam, the personality of Godhead, Krishna is described in various ways. There are various names given to him and various descriptions of his form, qualities, pastimes, and various avatars. The description, there are several descriptions of him in this verse, that he is Atimartha, he is beyond the human platform, that he is Bhagavan, he is very powerful, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is Guha, or very deep and difficult to understand. But perhaps the most perplexing description of him in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam comes in the last word of this verse, kapata manusha. This word kapat, it's not a very good word, usually. If we say that someone is kapat, it means he's a liar and he's a deceiver. And this statement maybe puts us in doubt as to the whole subject of the Bhagavatam, which is Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the solemn declaration of establishing the nature of the ultimate truth. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janmadyasya yatonvaya ditaratash charteshvak vignyaswarat tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yat suryaha tejo vari mridang yatha vinimayo yatra trisago marsha dhamna swena sadani rasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. In various ways, Vasudev, Krishna, is established as the supreme truth through upon whom we should meditate in 18,000 verses. So having very emphatically established Krishna as the supreme truth, who is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first verse, in the second verse, even more emphatically, is stated, dharma prohojita kaitava atra. Herein, all cheating religion is kicked out. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu. This is the real subject of the Vedas. So we can be very confident that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the pellucid or absolutely bright and clear delineation of the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Krishna. And this first chapter in which we're reading, after the introductory verses, describes the sages at Naimisharanya, Shonakadi Rishi, who are speaking to Suta Goswami. And they describe their desire, here they are describing their desire to Suta Goswami to hear about Krishna. And why do they want to hear about Krishna? Well, that's been described in the previous verse, vayam tu na vitripyama, vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. By hearing about Krishna, who is glorified in the best verses, that creates a kind of taste which it's so attractive that we never become satisfied. We want to taste that, the taste of hearing about Krishna, the rasa. We want to experience that at every step. So, yeah, okay, it's very nice to hear about Krishna. And this verse gives some more idea. Krishna, who is known as Keshava, a very sweet name of Krishna, performed activities with Balarama. Again, he is Atimartya, he's beyond the human platform, the platform of birth and death. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very deep, profound. So all these are very good reasons to want to hear about Krishna. But then again, we come to that word, kapata manush.
Ana,
cheating man. So it seems to be just some complete contradiction. Why should we, I mean, everyone in this world is a cheater. Why do we want to hear about another cheater? So what is going on here? why these great sages who have left the world, left all the activities of cheating, to come to the highest platform of spiritual knowledge, why would they want to hear about a cheater? And as Krishna is accepted as the personality of Godhead, the source of the maintainer of and the destroyer of all universes, Krishna himself creates all illusion. He's beyond illusion. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. So how can he be identified as an ordinary cheat? Well, there we have a clue. He's not an ordinary cheater. A cheater he may be, but not an ordinary cheater. So what is the mystery of all this? Srila Prabhupada discusses this in the purport. And I mentioned the first two verses of Bhagavatam, which set the tenor for the whole of the Bhagavatam. And there's the third verse also, which also sets the tenor, which seems to be in a different mood from the first two verses. Actually, the first line is in line with the second verse. Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam. This is the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedas. Shukamukha adamrita drava sangyatam. It's already nectarian, but it's become more sweet by being heard from Shuka. So here we have the first indication that this Bhagavatam, it is not simply a philosophical narration or a narration about the magnificence, the vaibhav of the Supreme Lord, but there is the element of sweetness also. And that is emphasized in the last two lines of this verse. Pibata bhagavata rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavakaha. Those who are expert in relishing rasa, or the sweet taste of Krishna's pastimes, they should go on relishing this up until the point of loy, which means destruction or death, or in the ecstasies of devotional service, it means where you just can't... Anyway, it's one of the very high ecstasies of devotional service. So, Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport to the verse that we're reading today that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he appears as, you can see the pictures here, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, as Yashoda Nandana, as Vraja Jana Ranjana. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in many ways, he appears to be like an ordinary person. So in this way, it is a kind of deception, you could say. Just like Krishna was standing on the chariot before Arjuna. And then Krishna showed the Vishwarup, the universal form. And then Arjuna became aware of Krishna's tremendous opulence and power. And then Krishna went back to appearing just like an ordinary person. So actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all power. But for the sake of pastimes, he appears to be in many ways like an ordinary person. So in this way, it appears to be deceptive. Not in a bad way. It's not that Krishna is the kind of... When we speak about a cheater, we speak about someone who speaks very nicely and takes our money and promises to give us it back with very high interest and then never gives it back at all. So that is an example of a common kind of cheating. Well, Krishna might take away all our money, that's not impossible, but that's only if we think we have any money, because actually everything belongs to Krishna anyway. But anyway, the point is that Krishna's apparent cheating is not at all bad for anyone, it's very beneficial for everyone. Now, we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that most of the first nine cantos, they describe the glory and grandeur of the Personality of Godhead and his various avatars. We become convinced that Krishna is all-powerful when we hear about, for instance, Nrisimhadev ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. And from the beginning of Bhagavatam, we are told that Krishna is the origin of all the Vishnu forms. And actually, Prahlad, we find in Bhagavatam, was meditating on Krishna who appeared before him in the form of Narasimhadev. So, having in 9 cantos been educated in the glory of Krishna, we enter the 10th canto. And then it becomes very strange, because we hear about Krishna sucking the breast of Mother Yashoda, playing with little cows, and in many ways appearing to be like an ordinary child. And there are the descriptions of his celebrated dancing with the gopis of Vrindavan. Now, interspersed with such descriptions are descriptions of Krishna's magnificence. Sometimes, well, at least twice it's described in Bhagavatam as a child, when Krishna opened his mouth, then Yashoda saw the whole universe within Krishna's mouth. And great demons would come to attack Krishna and to attack all of Vrindavan. And just like little boys, they like to play games that they are killing great demons. Well, Krishna didn't play games. He really did kill great demons. Little boys in the days before they had to go to pre-kindergarten at the age of 2.5, they used to play games and pretend that they're killing dragons and all this kind of thing. What's the word for dragon?
I just translated snake.
Snake, yeah.
Okay. Kind of.
Well, we have takshak in the Bhagavatam. Something like a dragon, isn't it? Flying snake. Something like that. So we are reminded of Krishna's greatness throughout the 10th canto also, of his atimartya bhagavata, his supernaturality, or his supernature, and the fact of his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that is not particularly the subject of rasa, which is being spoken about in the 3rd verse of the Bhagavatam and the 19th verse. The highest rasa, that which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach about, is of those devotees who have so much love for Krishna that they do not consider him to be the personality of Godhead at all. Or even if they kind of know that he's the personality of Godhead, they don't really take it very seriously. This is the standard of prema, which is so deep and so rich that the overwhelming fact of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes as if insignificant. So, as far as the residents of Vrindavan are concerned, Krishna is their friend or their lover or their son, and that he may be Bhagavan, well, maybe some people think like that. There are others also who, the residents of Vrindavan being covered by Krishna's yogamaya potency or the illusion of love do not recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who take the position of Krishna's enemies, even though they also see the magnificence of Krishna, but being covered by another kind of maya, the maya, the illusion of hatred of Krishna, they do not recognize Krishna's glories. Just like Kamsa, he would get news from Vrindavan. Say, why do people think this Krishna is so great? Okay, he subdued Kaliya. Kaliya is some water snake. And some demons like my friends like Keshi, Krishna killed them when they were a little inattentive. So Kamsa couldn't accept that Krishna is actually very powerful. And there are others who are devotees of the Supreme Lord who also, they don't really accept Krishna's leela in Vrindavan as being the real thing. The residents of Vaikuntha, when they hear about Krishna playing with the cows in Vrindavan, they think that's not really Krishna's leela. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was only playing like that just to fool Kamsa. That's not really who he is. He's actually Vaikunthanatha. So, who actually is Krishna? He's cheating someone. Says right here, kapata manusha. So who actually is he? If we say that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it must be true. All the Shastras say. If we ask Yashoda Mai, is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? She'll look at us with a funny look on her face. What do you say? What's all this big philosophy? I'm just churning butter here, and you're you go ask the Brahmins. I can't understand all this. If you ask the Vaikunthavasis, they'll say, yes, Krishna's supreme, but Narayan is the actual, original form. So, is Mother Yashoda wrong? I mean, Mother Yashoda doesn't know who Krishna is? Or is Vyasadeva wrong? What's going on here? Well, that's why Krishna is called Kapata Manusha. Very difficult to understand. Videshu Duralabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. He's very difficult to understand by the Vedas. But for a person whose very being is just full of bhakti, then it's not that he's rare to find, he's already captured Krishna. So if we say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that of course is correct. And in fact, all the Vedas, they lead to that point. This, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishya Sarveraham Eva Vedaha. Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas. So Krishna is the ultimate subject of knowledge in the Vedas, but Krishna cannot be known simply by knowledge. Just to give something of an analogy, you can do a study gathering all knowledge about Sachin Tendulkar. You can compile lots of information about him. His height, his weight, his favorite food, his parents' name, his wife's name, his favorite food, his batting average. You're the only person in Tamil Nadu who ever said anything like that, probably. Anyway, but that doesn't necessarily mean... You may know a lot about him, but that doesn't necessarily know that you know him personally. Now, someone who's a great fan of Sachin, they may compile all information about him, and they might know more about him even than his wife does, all the different details. But it would be foolish to say that he actually knows Sachin better than his wife does, because she has a very intimate personal relationship with him. Now, I'm just making this example so to make the subject matter easier to understand. Our subject matter of discussion is not Sachin Tendulkar or anyone else of this material world. But we can understand from this that simply by amassing information about Krishna doesn't necessarily mean that we know Krishna. We may know a lot about Krishna, but that doesn't mean that we actually know him personally. However, there are many big differences between Krishna and any person of this material world. And one of them is that every single living being can have and dominantly does have an intimate personal relationship with Krishna. Whereas any famous person of this material world, who they have many fans, they try to avoid their fans because they can't deal with so many people. It's a funny thing that people want to be famous. They want that many people will praise them and be after them. And if someone does become famous, they spend all their time trying to avoid the people who are trying to come after them. Because a jiva can only deal with a limited number of other people. But Krishna has an intimate personal relationship with everyone. So that by knowing about Krishna from the Vedas and from the Acharyas, then that naturally the desire to develop a personal relationship with Krishna develops. But the knowledge of Krishna is not in and of itself tantamount to knowing Krishna. So who is this Krishna that the Bhagavatam is inviting us to know? Well, that will depend on ourselves to a large extent. Yeyatamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajami aham. Krishna says, as they approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. So if we want to ignore Krishna and forget Krishna, then Krishna may just appear to us to be a completely unimportant subject. Just like we see some of you have come from quite some distance, to join this satsang, to join this spiritual meeting. And many other people are living just in the street here, and they don't come at all. And if you ask them to come, they'll say, yes, yes, and they won't come. They have no interest in Krishna. And others are interested in Krishna that, oh, well, maybe he is God. Okay, I'll pray and maybe I'll get something. So there are levels of approach to Krishna. We may approach him considering him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is, of course, correct. We may be attracted to him in the form of Rama or Narayana or Varaha or Kurma. These are all different forms of the Supreme Lord. The original form is Krishna. We may be attracted to Krishna in his Dwaraka pastime. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains to us, especially as revealed through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, they are the most attractive. Krishna jatek khela sarvatam naralila narabapu taha sarup. Of all Krishna's kinds of play, his human-like form is the best, and that is his very original form.
கிருஷ்ணருடைய பலதரப்பட்ட விளையாட்டுகள் எடுத்துக்கொண்டோம்
அப்படின்னா, so Krishna, several human like forms are there. The dearest and sweetest is Krishna. Parashuram is also a human like, well, a human form. That is some terrible activities he's performing. Yeah, transcendental, but that is some bloody activities. And Vamana Leela, that is certainly very sweet. But that is just, that's very intimate with Bali Maharaj. Rama, he is very open to many devotees, but he's a little distant also because he's the king. Whereas Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's sitting on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He's playing games with his young boyfriends in Vrindavan, in the forest. And he is dancing with the gopis very intimately. The gopis are not some ordinary girls. They are expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency. Ananda Chinmaya Rasapati Bhavita Bhistabhirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalapi. The gopis are all expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency. So who is Krishna actually? And why is it said that he's deceptive? Well, it a lot depends on our perception of him. If we think that Krishna is just an ordinary person, then he will deceive us and we'll think he's an ordinary person. Because we want to be cheated, so Krishna will allow us to be cheated. If we think that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is correct. But even though that is the topmost level of understanding, still there's a little bit more to understand. How can there be more than topmost? Well, that is possible in transcendence. Even materially, you can have a greater than infinity. Even in mathematics, that was just explained to me recently, you can have infinity and another infinity which is greater. Now that doesn't sound to make any sense, does it? But, okay, I'll explain. It's very easy to understand, actually. If you take a set of every three numbers, and an infinite number of them, then that becomes an infinite number of numbers. So you have 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. So that, and then it goes on, and you have an infinite set of numbers. If you take the numbers in between, and you make an infinite number of them, that's also an infinite set of numbers. So you have 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10, 11, and so on. So you have one infinite set of numbers, and you have another set of infinite numbers, but the other set is twice as many as the first set. So if it's possible materially, then it's possible spiritually also. Topmost, but there's something more still to understand. Okay. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Rai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda, what is the topmost level of bhakti or of God realization. So various answers were being given, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, not really, try again. And at one point then Ramananda said that, okay, just hearing about Krishna, dedicating it to Krishna, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, that's right, I accept that. But there's something more, and more, and whatever Ramananda would say, more, 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 tell us more, more, more. At some point Ramananda said, really? You really want to go further? I never found anyone who could even think of discussing such things. So what they went on to further discuss, that is not discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Charitamrita, sorry. But that is discussed later by the... It had already been put in writing by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is very intimate. That is very rarely achieved. It is not an ordinary thing to become an associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that is possible. And for those who are in that relationship with Krishna, thinking of Krishna as their son, as their friend, as their lover, for them, if someone says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it doesn't really seem to make much sense. So who is Krishna cheating? Well, we're all cheating ourselves if we don't surrender to Krishna. And whoever has revived their dormant Krishna consciousness is very happy in that relationship. To actually understand who Krishna is, to exactly define, is very difficult. And even the great devotees, they may disagree. Someone may say Rama is supreme. Someone will say Narayan is supreme. Someone will say Krishna is supreme. So who is correct? They're all correct. And their discussions, they will bring out the qualities of their own Ishtadeva, the form of the Lord who they desire to worship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked who is Krishna, he said, well, I only know two names of Krishna. That is Yashoda Nandan and Shyama Sundara. So this is a very intimate understanding of Krishna.
Parivagam.
So who is Krishna cheating? Everybody. But that cheating is very sweet if we are a devotee. Those who think that Krishna is my lover, they don't very much think of him as being the creator, maintainer and destroyer of all universes, although he is. And those who think he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's just some upstart, then they're also cheated, but in a bad way, by their own bad mentality. So we're all meant for developing that intimate relationship with Krishna. We should study Bhagavad Gita and understand who is Krishna and chant the holy names of Krishna, hear the pastimes of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who are very fortunate, they can appreciate Krishna in Vrindavan. Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpataravo Dhumam Humish Chintamani Dhanamayi Tayam Amrita Kataganam Nartyangamanamapi Vangshi Priyasaki Chidanandan Jyoti Paramapitadasvadhyapi Chasayatra Kshiradhi Shavati Sura Pibhyas Chisumaha Nimesh Adhyakyo Vavrajatina Hiyatrapi Samaya Bhajay Shrita Deepam Tamaham Iha Goloka Iti Vidantas Te Santa Viralachara Katipiye. So this Katipiye means this is a description of Krishna and Vrindavan that there is an atmosphere of all beauty and all opulence. Krishna appears there as the supreme lover, surrounded by his lovers, the gopis. He is Paramapurush, he is the supreme person. But in Vrindavan, the understanding of Krishna as the supreme person is not exactly the same as, well, it's very different to the understanding of him as the supreme person, as the Lord of Vaikuntha. All the trees are desire trees, so you can get whatever you want from them. The devotees, they only want paraphernalia for serving Krishna. The land is similarly, it's wish fulfilling. The water is just like nectar. No one ever talks. Does that mean everyone is sitting in meditation and never speaking? There's no talking because everyone's talking is so sweet it sounds just like singing. And there's no walking because everyone's movements are so graceful it's just like dancing. Flute of Krishna is the very dear friend there. Everything there is full of divine, spiritual, blissful light. So we worship that land, which is known as Shvetadvip Golok. It is stated that some persons, very few persons, they may have access to that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the opportunity to enter that world. It's very difficult for us to even begin to conceive. But if we hear about it from scriptures like Brahma Sanghita, then we will develop a desire to go there. But as long as we are on the platform of material desire, then that will remain a great mystery to us. We will not at all be able to understand Krishna. Nahaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yoga māyā samāvṛta mūḍho yaṁ nābhijānāti loko māma jamavyayam. Krishna says, I do not reveal myself to everyone. I am covered by the curtain of illusory energy to those foolish people who do not recognize who I am. So there is the world beyond this world of birth and death. Krishna is beckoning us to that world. In Bhagavad Gita, he calls us to that world. In Srimad Bhagavatam, he gives us more information of that world. So we should develop a desire to go to that world and be with Krishna. And when we have actually developed pure love for Krishna, then exactly who is Krishna philosophically, that may not be such an important question for us. In our present situation, it is a most important question for us. But for persons whose pure love of Krishna is actually awakened, they simply love Krishna. For them, it is not so much a matter of logical understanding, as simply their heart's attraction naturally goes toward Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this opportunity to us to develop this pure love of Krishna, particularly by the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So let us not cheat ourselves of this. Let us take this opportunity to hear about Keshava and Balarama and their superhuman pastimes. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Is there any other mic? Is the only mic? It's better to have
friend
the recording. Ati Martyani Bhagava Guru.
Guru Maharaj, here it's mentioned Kapata Manusha. So the sages of Naimisharanya, they are mentioning this. So clearly they have quite a deep understanding of Krishna, and it looks like they're definitely devotees.
Yes. So they're specifically asking to hear about Krishna.
So if that is the case, performing this yajna and having black suit all over their bodies seems contradictory, that they understand that Krishna is so sweet. So why did they do this kind of a sacrifice?
Well, it might seem difficult to understand for you because you've been trained from the beginning in clear, pure Krishna consciousness. But at that time, the broader Vedic culture was extant. And the sages of Naimisharanya, they're obviously very advanced, but they hadn't had to them explained all the details of the science, the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. And in fact, they'd heard so many other things before they heard this subject. So because you are fortunate enough to have had all these points clearly explained to you from the beginning, everything is very clear, we hope. So those who are coming in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're more fortunate than others who come previously. By hearing different, prior to this, they'd heard different Puranas, and they'd been attentive enough to extract the points here and there about the supremacy of Krishna and the supremacy of bhakti to him. But the whole culture at that time was, in the culture, the performance of sacrifice was central. Seeing Damodar Gauranga there, I'm just thinking of another point of this illusionism. As he is performing dramas of various pastimes of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Leela is very similar to drama. In the science of drama, which is explained by this Bharata Muni, he describes the Natya Shastra, the science of drama and dance. So he describes how to do drama and different gestures and different kinds of scenes to bring out different kinds of moods, which are called rasas. Krishna Leela, that is also full of rasa, but that is real. That is not just a drama, it's real. So if there is a drama of Krishna Leela, although it's a drama, it's actually more real than the life that we're living in our day-to-day life. And if we become absorbed in that Leela, then we forget that it's the success of a drama is that when those are watching it, they forget that they're watching a drama. Then as far as we are concerned, it's not a drama, it's actually happening. So when Rama kills Ravana, everyone cheers. Because that is real. Ram does kill Ravana. He's killing Ravana. So what's a drama and this whole material life is just some play acting. And Krishna Leela, that is real. So these dramas of Krishna Leela, these paintings of Krishna Leela, they are windows that we can walk through into that world.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.